You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
People say I am the best boss.
You can find us on Twitter at SB Nation Radio and call in at 1-800-777-2907. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Stepping right in to a show usually hosted by Rick Tittle called Titillating Sports.
I said stop calling it that.
I don't know why that comes to mind.
With a girl in the room, I just think it's not okay.
Does that make you uncomfortable?
It makes me uncomfortable, Gio.
It's his last name. Titillating.
His name is Tittle, and he calls his show Titillating Sports.
Okay, let's just stop the madness.
Now I'm uncomfortable. It's all a little bit awkward. Well, we actually have let me just leave one last thought. On the Raiders-Cowboys, the matchup that you're really excited about, and
I'm so excited.
You've highlighted it, I'm with you on this one, Sean Lee and Marshawn Lynch.
Two multiple Pro Bowl players going at it. I cannot wait to see what Beast Mode does in Oakland against Sean Lee, coming back to Dallas.
Well, as a Cowboys fan, my primary concern is that Lynch doesn't hurt Sean Lee. Lee has been exceptional throughout his career, except when he's been injured. He's obviously struggled with health, for all of his season.
And as an Oakland fan, my hope is that Marshawn doesn't end up spectating in the second quarter like he has done before.
Right. You want him
stay
to get more
stay on the
more
field, Marshawn. Hands off the officials. You got this.
Oh, we got that issue, too.
We've got that issue.
Well, coming up in the next segment, we will have a visit from Lance Zierlein. He is the guru of so many things. He can offer love advice. He can offer relationship help. He can talk about great movies. But we're going to focus more on the NFL, the draft, and the NBA.
And he won't call it what you all have been calling the show.
This show, we are filling in for Rick Tittle, who, is calling his show Titillating Sports. But that show is suddenly not politically correct in light of the room that we have today.
Clearly. And
we're living
Lance
in a different world.
He's going to be on my side.
Very, very
careful. He's on
Team
Carla. I heard him this morning. He's Team Salma and Team Carla. And
really?
Shame on your partner for being Team Harvey. Yeah. We got to get on John Granato about that.
Granato's Team Harvey.
It was I was really proud of you, Lance. I'm Team Salma.
Harvey Weinstein?
Yes.
Really?
Just for one moment, though, right? One incident.
You do.
No, not you, John.
When Lance Zierlein's about to join us and we will find out that he's not on Team Harvey, we will find out what team he thinks certain players, Josh Rosen, where will he be a fit in the NFL next year?
My guy.
And Sam Darnold, you are speaking to Carla Dawson, USC Trojan grad fan and all things involved with the Trojan program.
All things
program.
Troy, yes.
We'll be back with Lance Zierlein on The Boss and the Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, this is a real treat for The Boss and the Gloss. We get Lance Zierlein in here, and Lance writes for NFL.com. He hosts a show on our Houston radio station. He knows more about the draft. He knows more about the NFL just about anybody.
We just got star power in here.
We got star power. Although I did tell him, when he comes on with the Boston Gloss, I told him last week in the hallway, I said, you better bring your A game.
I know. I can see that already.
I'm sure he's worried. I'm sure he's worried, yes. Lance, we're glad you're here.
Well, I've got some sports knowledge across from me now as opposed to when it's with me and John in the morning.
Yeah, you've
so
traded
it's totally
up.
Totally different, yeah.
You have traded up. Well, look, I know we're ready for you.
Yeah.
But are you ready for us?
I am.
You are.
Let's fire away. Let's go.
Well,
I'm a pro. Flip the switch and let's go.
Light it up. Let's start with the NFL.
Yeah.
Okay. Broncos played last night. Broncos won.
Yeah.
They have three quarterbacks on their roster.
Some would say they have three. I would say they have none.
That's the point.
There we go.
Are any of them going to be the starter next year or the Broncos going elsewhere?
Yeah, I think one of them will be the starter next year, but they're in a state of flux. I mean, that quarterback, it's not going to be Trevor Siemian. I think they've realized Paxton Lynch is not going to be their guy. And so Brock Osweiler is not a solution. So I think the Broncos will figure out two of those to keep, and then they'll move forward and maybe craft a plan where if the right quarterback falls to them at the right spot, they'll take another shot at quarterback and, see if they can develop him. And if not, then they'll have to – be in that quarterback purgatory where so many teams get into and can be a really long time. And so I think that's where the Broncos may end up more than just this year. They may be there again next year. So I do think one of these quarterbacks will be the starter next year, though. But that doesn't mean they have the answer.
Yeah, that's not the answer.
No.
And do you think Brock stays in Denver and accepts a backup role? Because clearly he's not bad in a backup role.
No, I think he will. He had success previously. Mm-hmm. In Denver, I think he's more comfortable in Denver. He had a pretty good game yesterday, albeit against a team that's not very good.
He played a good game against Indy with the Texans. That was his best game all season.
He did. So he struggled. He struggled in the first three quarters of that game, and then had a big fourth quarter, and they came from behind.
Into overtime, right?
Yeah. And so I think that's destined. I don't think he's a starter in the NFL. Now, he may get more starts, but ultimately, he's going to be a backup. And so why not go somewhere where you're comfortable, where you've had some success? He was clearly never comfortable here. In Cleveland, it was over before it even started. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good role for him, backup role in Denver. And there's nothing wrong with being a lifelong backup quarterback. Those guys make pretty good money, too.
Yeah, he'll do well. We're talking to Lance Zierlein, a writer for NFL.com. Lance, who will be the starting quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs next season?
That's a really good question. I know the Chiefs were terrified. I spoke with their GM, Brett Veach, before he was actually a GM. It was just after the draft, and we were talking about, he ended up taking over for John Dorsey. And we were talking about Pat Mahomes, and he said, I just wanted to know about what went into them drafting him and just kind of how it went down. He said, man, he was special as a person. Mm. We really liked him. Andy Reid is great with quarterbacks. He understands how to work with quarterbacks. He's done it with Donovan McNabb. He's done it with Alex Smith. But they understand that he needs time. He needs to sit in the meeting rooms. He needs to see what an NFL offense looks like coming out of Texas Tech. And I think one of the things they were really worried about was if Alex Smith got hurt, the fans would be clamoring for Pat Mahomes. But they knew Pat Mahomes was not going to be ready this year. So if you knew he wasn't going to be ready next year or this year, I think next year – it really depends on how you view your team moving forward. If you think you are a serious competitor to compete in the AFC for a championship and move on to a Super Bowl, then you go with the status quo. But if you think you are in a little bit of a downturn, which I think the Chiefs might be potentially with some of the age on defense, but I don't know. I mean, it's a weird combination of older and younger players. Then they may say, you know what, we're not sure we're going to compete with New England and compete with the Steelers and, whoever else the power is next year. So we're going to maybe take a step back to take two steps forward in the future with Pat Mahomes. So they may bite the bullet and go through the rough times. Or who knows, maybe Pat Mahomes comes out of the gate like Deshaun Watson did, because I certainly didn't expect that. And I wrote the draft profiles for both of those quarterbacks, and I thought both of those guys needed to sit a year and wait. And Deshaun, I was clearly wrong on Deshaun.
Well, do you think that's a product too, Lance, of Deshaun coming out of Clemson, which clearly they have a system that really works and is able to get these guys NFL ready, several Clemson players, but especially Deshaun. I mean, TJ Yates was saying this week that he and Deshaun work with the same quarterback coach in Atlanta, and that he was giving Deshaun some tips, and he said, going onto the Texans about the playbook and their offense, he was blown away by how far ahead Deshaun was as a rookie going into that. And Patrick Mahomes, I don't think under Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech, he had that. And I think it appears, and I'm asking your opinion, so talented and so raw, like one of the most rawest forms of so much talent packed in, but just not refined yet.
Mahomes, that
he might need a little more time.
Yeah, it could be. A lot of that is, look, Deshaun is a rare, I don't know if it's rare, but he's a tremendous self-starter. The story I heard from a friend is that Bill O'Brien would text Deshaun during the summer. Out of nowhere, he texted him a situation. Let's say we're in this look and this personnel grouping. The defense is in this look and this personnel grouping. And the safety does this. Or, he'd say, what's your first read? And then what's your second read, after that? And the little dot bubble, the three-dot bubble would come up immediately, meaning he was already answering and had the answers 100% of the time they were correct. And that a lot of that comes from, football intelligence, but also just a willingness to work and make it your life. To be a great quarterback, you have to sacrifice certain things in your life, and this has to be the focus, the primary focus, so that you get to that point. I don't know if Pat Mahomes has that or not. I mean, he can be a great person. David Carr was a great person.
Right.
But David Carr didn't have a yearning desire and passion, an overriding passion to be the very best quarterback he could. He wanted to balance that between his family obligations and things like that, which is admirable. But Deshaun Watson right now is on a clear one-track path, and that's why he got that head start. If Pat Mahomes is doing the same thing, and I did hear a really good story on him when I thought he'd be way behind too mentally from a conceptual standpoint coming from Cliff Kingsbury's
right.
offense,
right.
But I heard the Chiefs told me when they put him on the board, meaning the whiteboard, and they were drawing up scenarios, he was really good. He didn't know certain things; they taught it to him. And then later on in the day, he was able to process all of it and understood it and took it to the board, which is a sign of good football intelligence. So I think he has it in him. And I don't know how he's doing in practice. I don't know how he's doing in the meeting rooms. But if he's doing better than expected, then he may get that shot sooner rather than later.
We are talking to Lance Zierlein, writer for NFL.com and a show host on KFNC Houston. Let's go to the Giants. Will Eli Manning be with the Giants next year?
I think it's time to move on.
Yeah.
They drafted Davis Webb in the third round from Cal last year. I don't know if they believe in Davis Webb. From what I understand, the owner – I wasn't a fan. I thought Davis Webb was down the road. I didn't think he's an NFL starter. But and you probably saw him at Cal.
I did.
I just thought he was just okay. There was nothing that screamed good NFL starter to me when I wrote him up on the NFL draft profiles. So if they agree with me after watching him this year in practice, I think they'll target a quarterback – within their first couple of picks and maybe the first round. Eli's time has come and gone. It was a nice run, but at some point you need to cut bait and move forward. And the Giants are clearly in a rebuild mode. Mm-hmm. New general manager, new head coach, new quarterback. They should just make it a clean sweep starting 2018.
So he's a fit with the Jaguars or the Broncos? Or what's the logical landing spot?
Well, I mean, the Jaguars with Tom mm-hmm. Coughlin. Tom Coughlin being over there makes perfect sense. Coughlin trusts them. Mm-hmm. It's a team that's in flux themselves at quarterback. They have a Super Bowl caliber defense. Yep. They have a good young running game. Their offensive line is okay, but what they're really missing is a quarterback they can trust. And they're winning, I think, sometimes despite their quarterback. So if you could just get okay quarterback play from Eli Manning, that might be enough to elevate them to one of the favorites in the AFC next year.
Because Eli Manning's okay play is more than serviceable, which is what Blake Bortles is when he's got a good day.
Yeah, Eli to the Jaguars will feel like Peyton to the Broncos in that context.
Right, absolutely, actually.
Yeah, it really could. It really could.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get another chance to ask Lance Zierlein, who's joined us here on NFL.com. We're going to get a chance to ask him about other things in the NFL and his top quarterbacks in this coming draft. We're going to stack rank the first four or five in the draft that's coming with a lot of good quarterbacks coming out of college. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
It is The Boss and the Gloss filling in for Rick Tittle of Titillating Sports.
And did it again.
I know it gives you shivers.
Lance is going to be on my team.
Rick
like
Tittle show. I'm so glad that we are here today, though, and I'm so glad we're joined by the great Lance Zierlein, a writer for NFL.com, a show host on KFNC Houston, and one of the foremost draft experts. Great opportunity to pick your brain on the upcoming draft. A lot of great quarterbacks. First of all, what's
poor
the
Lance,
over
we didn't even give him a break at the break. I couldn't stop talking to him.
Oh, and these two were going at it. I had to stop them so that we could, come on, we got to get back on the mic.
No, talking quarterbacks here.
We're talking quarterbacks.
I'm doing my homework like Deshaun right here and now.
So you got a lot of quarterbacks coming out this year, some really good ones. How many in the first round, and how do you stack rank?
Well, the first thing we have to do is try to figure out who's coming out. Because Sam Darnold, mm-hmm. I don't think is a lock to come out at all from what I understand. I think Sam Darnold could be back at USC.
Wait, can I pause? Because you're making her smile.
I know.
That's what I want, Lance.
On this
That's
platform.
My Christmas present. Yeah. He asked me last week what I wanted for Christmas.
I think he likes college and wants to, from what I understand, he's not in any rush to – this isn't a rush to get money. It's not a rush to start that next level of his life. He likes college, and I think he's going to consider there's some unfinished business. And they've got some talent over there. I do think their running back is going to go. But let's just assume everyone's in.
Yep.
Let's assume every draft eligible quarterback. I'll talk about draft eligible quarterbacks. That would include Lamar Jackson. That would include Josh Rosen. That would include Sam Darnold. Those are the name guys that you need to know.
I think. Did you include Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, but Baker's a senior. So Baker's,
oh, that's true. Okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
Baker's going to be out regardless. I think the top quarterback for me, projecting them as pros, knowing everything I know, would be Sam Darnold. And I don't feel as strongly about him now as when I started the season. Mm-hmm. Showed some hiccups this year with turnovers. The game got a little bit tougher for him as teams adjusted to him. But I still see enough there that he's got great size. He's got mobility. He's got a little bit of a long release, but when it comes out of his hand, it comes out with good velocity. I think he can overcome some of the release issues. So to me, I see Sam Darnold number one. Now, talent-wise, I see Josh Rosen number two in technique, but there's people in that program who don't think he's very coachable. And there's questions about will he be coachable on the next level, and people can try to knock that if they want, but I'm telling you, I've spoken with people who have been in that situation over there in rooms with him who say that, and he's not the most liked guy in his own program. And you want people to gravitate towards your quarterback. We talked about Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. Man, everyone bought into him right away. If you can't get an NFL locker room to buy into a young quarterback who's quote-unquote faced the franchise, you have Ryan Leaf's situation. You have situations
a Johnny
that can go sideways.
Situation.
Absolutely. So I'm going to move back. I'm going to take a step back on
Rosen.
And I'm gonna go Baker Mayfield, who doesn't fit the size parameters of an NFL quarterback. He plays in a system that's a spread system. There's all these knocks against him, but there's something about him, just like
he's
with Deshaun Watson, where you start saying, "All right, I'm not gonna worry about this, and this. I'm gonna work off the results." He's a gritty player, tremendous confidence, can extend plays, has great accuracy, especially down the field, deep ball. He needs the right offense. But I think he is number two. I would go Rosen three, Josh Allen four. But I have to study Josh Allen from Wyoming a little more closely. And then I'd say Lamar Jackson five, and then Mason Rudolph. And these are – right now I still have film work to do. But right now as we're talking, I'd say those five in that order and then Mason Rudolph six. I could see a scenario where Lamar Jackson's higher, and I could potentially see a scenario – where Josh Allen rises above his statistics because they're not very impressive this year.
We're talking to Lance Erline, writer for NFL.com. So over under five quarterbacks in the first round?
I'm going to go under.
Under.
Yeah, I'm going to say four.
And the great 1983 class of quarterbacks with Elway and Kelly and Todd Blackledge and Todd Eason, Marino. Does this compare?
No. Wow. I don't think. Well.
Good question.
It's tough because these guys didn't live up to the hype. Josh Allen didn't. Rosen didn't. Darnold didn't. They fell a little short of expectations. But you think about it, Baker Mayfield maybe played beyond expectations for him. Lamar Jackson's a unique player in that he's rushed for over 1,400 yards. So what do you do with that?
And
what do you do with the guy
Heisman numbers, which is crazy.
What do you do with the guy who is not the most accurate quarterback but incredibly explosive as a talent? Like, can you find a system that can – someone that can fit him into the right their offense to him, like Bill O'Brien did with Deshaun Watson, and all of a sudden you get the college version and the pros. That's the exciting thing. So the more I think about it, I don't know. That's an interesting question because based on performance this year, I'd say no. But then when you base on projection with physical size and talent and abilities, it maybe could be if everyone plays to their abilities. Yeah, maybe it could reach that.
I have a question for you, Lance, regarding Baker Mayfield. So he's so gritty. Like, what this kid does is just phenomenal. I mean, he clearly was the Heisman front runner. And as much as I love me some Bryce Love, I mean, how can you take that away from Mayfield? But here's what my concern is about him, and maybe this is just something not even to think about. But he seems like he plays so well from a place of anger and from grudges that, from not getting recruited to UT, from his fallout with Cliff Kingsbury to – whether it's grabbing his, in the Kansas game or planting the flag at Ohio State, he's motivated by anger. And do you think that will catch up to him in the NFL, or is it something that he has to make a switch and get motivated for pure competitiveness and want to win?
No, I think that chippiness is I think that's an admirable, as long as it doesn't overwhelm you.
Led to off-field issues for him.
Quarterbacks, you got to make sure he's just that he's going to mature. But it's not – I don't think they're – Johnny Manziel had character concerns.
True.
I don't think Baker – his went beyond immaturity. His – they were chronic and terminal to his career. I don't think that's the case with Baker Mayfield. I think he's just a little immature. I think he's energetic. I think he's – to me, his chippiness – on the field reminds me a little bit of Philip Rivers, where Rivers has always got something to say. Mm-hmm. He's always got, you know, he's always got that demeanor, and it's driven him since 2004, and there's been no fall off. So I think the same thing can be true with Baker Mayfield. I don't think that he has to have anger in his heart and a grudge to perform well. I think he has a naturally competitive personality that is similar to Philip Rivers. And that can be a good thing.
Well, and you're a big student of the technique of a quarterback. And let me just say this about his technique. When he grabbed his crotch, right. His technique was outstanding.
I mean,
you haven't seen that in a long time.
And it was emphatic. It wasn't could you barely tell what he was grabbing? Oh, no.
No.
He was letting you know, yeah. I'm going
to
grab it.
He wasn't trying to do it sly so no one caught him with the cameras.
I mean, give him that, right?
Yeah, he didn't care. He was
– not for my eyes,
he
boys.
Was going
not
all – yeah, he was going in.
Okay.
He was all in.
Yeah, he was all
crotch
in.
Crotch grabbing all. There we go.
All right, let's shift to the running back position. Okay. There's some really good guys coming out. How do you stack rank top three or four?
Oh, boy. Well, Saquon Barkley to me is number one. Yep. I have not studied Bryce Love yet. I need to. I know scouts in the West Coast.
I'll help you. I love that guy.
I heard he's scouts in the West Coast said he's not as big as you're going to want, but
right.
He's really, really talented. I know the top two. Off the top of my head are Barkley one and Darius Rashad. Geis from LSU number two. But I know Bryce Love is going to be up there. I'm trying to – who am I missing?
Rashad Penny from San Diego.
Rashad Penny's solid. I wrote him up already. I think he's more of a third-round type for me, second or third. I think he's good. I don't think he's great, but I think he's good. I think Royce Freeman's solid, highly productive, but I don't see special. I think he can be solid. I'm waiting to be wowed beyond those two, and I know Bryce Love is going to do it. And I don't think I'm missing out on any other running backs at this particular time. But once again, I still have to finish my studies on Darius Geis, and I haven't watched Bryce Love like I need to. So, my opinion of Bryce Love could I think from what scouts tell me, he's got a shot to go in the first round. So,
yeah, I think so too. I think what's neat about him too, obviously the runner-up for the Heisman. And he's first in you know, the CFP in so many areas, and you'll be able to see that. But he did it basically all on one leg because very early on in the season he had a really bad ankle injury.
Mm-hmm.
He missed one game, played every other game basically on one leg. And I think, wow, when you can put up that kind of numbers in obvious pain, I mean, you could see it on him. You know, 1,100-yard games, 100-yard-plus games, and able to do it on that weight till he's healthy. And, you know, being the backup to Christian McCaffrey, you're not getting all that love. It's not accumulated love that you got. And then he just bursts out, you know, in this year.
Yeah.
I'm excited for him.
Well, when McCaffrey sat out the bowl, everyone thought, oh, Stanford's in trouble. And then Bryce Love played, and everyone said, oh, I guess this guy's pretty good too. Little did we know that was a foreshadowing of what to come this year, which might be the second straight year Stanford produces a running back in the first.
Which is quite amazing for that school.
Yeah,
yeah,
it would be.
We're talking to Lance Zierlein, writer for NFL.com, show host of KFNC in Houston. In a minute and a half, let me ask you, in some years we've had freak defensive ends, Myles Garrett, Jadeveon Clowney. Is there anyone like that in this year's draft?
No, those guys are really special. But there are two who come right to mind, and that's Bradley Chubb out of NC State and Arden Key out of LSU. I assume Key is going to go pro. That's what he's telling everyone around the school. Bradley Chubb is a senior. He went back to school last year and I think helped his draft stock. But Bradley Chubb is big. He's athletic. He physically looks the part, and he's got the athletic ability. And his production's really good too. So I think Bradley Chubb is going to be a top five draft pick in this draft. Arden Key has a lot of ability, but he at one point he was 270 pounds this year. This is after he was 230 just 2 years ago. So he put on some really bad weight. There's going to be questions about his work ethic. But at the end of the day, he has been an effective pass rusher in the SEC, and that's going to make a difference. So I would say right off the top of my head, as far as edge pass rushers, those are two of the names to keep an eye on.
All right, we've got a couple more questions. Can you stick around for one more
sure.
segment?
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the things that I get to do here, I am the boss, and so if I tell Lance he has to stay, he's got to come back.
I'm like, yeah, I guess I'll stay, hey, sure.
We're at his mercy, Lance.
I want to ask you about the Rockets, the second best team in the West. We'll ask Lance Erline when we return. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
It is The Boss and the Gloss, David and Carla, and we're joined here by Lance Erline, writer for NFL.com, show host of KFNC Houston, and we're going to talk to you about NBA in just a minute. I got one or two more NFL draft questions I would love to ask you.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. So,
does the 49ers' future look as bright as I think it does?
Well, Garoppolo, I mean, I assume they're going to lock in with Jimmy Garoppolo. That's the yep. first thing you have to work off of. I think they still have offensive line issues. They need wide receiver. Running back, I'm not sure they're completely committed to Carlos Hyde. They've got some defensive talent. If Reuben Foster stays healthy, Solomon Thomas is good, Eric Armstead, Buckner. So, yeah, I mean, I like the head coach. I think they've got a shot to become a team. I like their trajectory, but they're still a little ways away. They still have to work on, you know, their secondary. They still have to work on adding along the offensive line. They still need skill position players. So I still think they're a couple years away, though, from really being able to tell.
And does Garoppolo stay? Do they keep him?
I would think so. Yeah, yeah, you don't make that trade unless you believe in Jimmy Garoppolo.
At the least, they'll give him the franchise tag. They got to lock him up.
Yeah, I have to.
So the great thing for them is they got a franchise quarterback for a second-round mm-hmm. pick, effectively. It'll be a high second-round pick. And then that first-round pick, they can do lots of things.
Mm-hmm.
So and they've got other picks they got from the trade with Trubisky last year. So they're positioned to do well this draft, I think.
How many wins do they have? I'm trying to think. They might be in
position. They have three now, thanks to the Texans.
Yeah, yeah. So they might be in position to draft Saquon Barkley if he's there, if he comes out.
You bet.
You know, a guy like Saquon Barkley, who is a really high character player, he's, you know, you pair him with a quarterback, you say, well, we got our quarterback and our running back now. Now we got to find, you know, our wide receiver and get the offensive line better. But, that's not a bad position to be mm-hmm. in the top four or five in this year's draft.
It seemed like John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan work well together. They had a great draft in 2017. We'll see what they can do in 2018.
It appears so, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, one more on the draft. The Texans, their biggest needs, and how do you see them addressing them? They don't have any picks high.
No first or second. They'll have three third-round picks after they get a compensatory pick for the loss of A.J. Bouye. I would say, in order, I think their needs go offensive line, and I mean mm-hmm. tackle, guard, I don't care.
It doesn't matter where.
Everybody but Nick Martin, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly. Put a brick in the wall somewhere.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. So they need offensive line across the board, and so now you're already talking about tackle and guard, and yep. maybe more than one of both of those positions. The next thing I think is a cornerback, because Jonathan Joseph will be gone after this year. It's my understanding, or it's my expectation. Kevin Johnson's just been okay at cornerback. They really miss A.J. Bouye. I think that was a huge mistake letting him go.
I do, too.
This is a huge mistake. So, to me, you got to add cornerback. So, I'd go offensive line, cornerback. And then, for number three, boy, that's tough because you still have a lot of needs. But I would probably say you can find safeties. I would say defensive line depth, because I'm not sure how J.J. Watt's doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big concern for me. Jadeveon is a – Clowney's a good player. You got a pass rusher on the edge at Whitney Merciless.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
D.J. Reader has become a really good player, but I don't think any of these other guys are all that effective. Zach Cunningham's been fantastic.
Yeah,
I think the linebackers are actually in pretty good shape right now. So I would say the next one could be defensive line depth, or maybe even wide receiver again to get a third wide receiver if you don't believe in Braxton Miller, who hasn't really done much so mm-hmm. far.
No, he can't stay in the lineup.
No.
That's
so,
been the tricky thing.
And really, frankly, Will Fuller has had his issues too. Mm-hmm. So you might look at that third wide receiver as potentially becoming a second, you know, the wide receiver number two if Fuller can't stay healthy.
Mm-hmm. And I hope he does. He just needs to put some more meat on those bones. Same with Kevin Johnson.
Yeah, I don't think they have frames to get a whole lot bigger. That's one of the things you have to project. Like, can your body carry more weight and not slow down? Can you pack more muscle on? And it's amazing. I've talked to NFL scouts. I say, how can you determine if a guy – like, what do you look for? And they said, you can look at hip structure. You can look at shoulder width. You can – they've got all these ways, ankle size or stuff. I don't know. They've got all these ways of determining – whether or not or giving themselves the best opportunity to understand whether or not a guy has ability to add more muscle and functional size on their frame. And that's one of the things that you look at Kevin Johnson's build. I don't think he's ever going to be a lot bigger. Will Fuller is probably more slender than Kevin Johnson is. So, you know, it's a big guy sport, and those guys have dealt with, you know, injuries already in 2 years.
Well, if they're looking at hip width, I might be in a Texans uniform next year. So watch
no,
out. Just
that's
saying.
Not true. That's not true at all. No one can see her, but that's believe right. me. So the position strength in this draft coming out, are there certain positions that stand out to you that seem more stocked?
Defensive tackle is going to be very stocked yep. this year. If you need a defensive tackle, this year will be a good year for that. I would say running back, it's a very deep running back class. There may not be all spectacular, but you've got future starters in this year's running back class and not just first-rounders. Quarterback could be a depth position. You could run into Luke Falk and Mason Rudolph mm-hmm. and other guys like that beyond the first round that could become starters. So I think that's got some depth. And then there's not the headliners, but I actually think there's going to be some starters at tight end that you'll be able to get on day three, at guard and tight end, that you're going to be able to find on day three, rounds 4 through 7, who become okay. inexpensive starters maybe early in their careers. So that's the kind of depth that NFL teams covet, because everyone expects a first and second rounder. But, boy, when you get a cheap player who's a fifth rounder to start and you don't have to pay them a lot for the first 3 years, it allows you to do more with your money, and it's a big, big benefit.
We're talking to Lance Erline, writer for NFL.com and a show host on KFNC Houston. All right, let's shift gears to the NBA.
That's hard. We've got to peel ourselves away from them.
There is an NBA season going on,
yes,
right?
There
I'm
is.
Just checking.
It is. Yeah. A quarter of the way through.
Yeah,
I might
but
ask.
It's going to, you know, I always feel like this. It starts off, no matter how good, and our team locally is the Houston Rockets, and they're off to a great start,
you
an
bet.
Exciting start, but the momentum doesn't build because of, and we're still hung over after World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the football season, which, you know, kind of slows excitement of basketball. But once that big Christmas Day hits with all these great matchups that ABC and ESPN puts together on Christmas Day, that it used to be a doubleheader, now it's triple, and I think quadruple headers, that almost seems like the kickoff to the NBA season where everything feels like, okay, basketball's here. A lot of the bowl games are starting to wind down. The NFL regular season's over. Basketball really gets a jump start then.
Nothing says Christmas like the NBA.
Is that, yeah. True.
It's interesting that they've kind of tried to take over that day, and they're
it
starting
is.
To have some success with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Football has Thanksgiving Day.
Yes.
But the NBA has Christmas Day.
Yes, they do.
All right.
I love
so
it.
In Houston coming into the season, the pairing of Chris Paul, James Harden was a big question mark. They've really gotten off to a great start. They probably look like, at least, well, the Rockets tonight will play the Spurs, a great matchup here in the West. But the Rockets right now look like perhaps the second-best team in the West. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it's fair. You have to give the nod to Golden State until somebody knocks them off.
Yep.
I mean, they're so talented. They're so deep. They know who they are, and they do what they do effectively. But I really think the Rockets have a shot at the number one seed in the Western Conference this year, because the Rockets are deeper than they've been in the past. Mm-hmm. They have another leader on the court. And I think leadership was a big problem last year. That's not James Harden's forte, but it is Chris Paul's. And so I think the Rockets, what Daryl Morey, their general manager, has done is tightened up some weaknesses and turned them into either neutralized them or made them strengths in some cases. And that really could potentially change the fortunes for the Rockets when it comes to the postseason and being able to face mentally tough teams like the Spurs.
Yep.
Beating the Spurs, hey, you do it in a regular season, whatever.
Right.
They don't really care about that. They're trying to rest starters. They just know that we're more mentally tough than you in the postseason, and you better be much better than us physically to beat us, because mentally you're going to have a hard time. And so the Rockets wilted under that last year. If they can become more mentally tough, especially with the addition of Chris Paul, I think they vault past the Spurs. And I think you're looking at, and I really do think you're looking at, you know, everyone, remember in the middle of the baseball season, everyone talked about the LA Dodger Houston Astro World Series. It looked like a collision course. And then everyone, you know, said, oh, wait a minute, hold on, maybe not the Astros. And then it ended up being that.
Yep.
I think Rockets and Warriors are a clear cut collision course in the Western Conference right now. I really do.
I do, too. But San Antonio scares me.
They should.
Because, A, they're coached by Greg Popovich. And now Kawhi Leonard is back. Now, mm-hmm. he's just come back this week, and we're not seeing a whole lot of playing time. But I think Greg Popovich loves this, that everyone's talking about the Warriors and the Rockets and the Warriors and the Rockets. He's just going to quietly sit back, and he knows how to coach this team into, you know, deep into the playoffs. It makes me nervous for the Rockets, but you touched on the mental aspect of it, and I think Chris Paul, as such an incredible floor general, is going to be the difference.
Yeah, he just has to stay healthy. But to your point with the Spurs have been who they've been for so many mm-hmm. years.
And since even the Robinson days.
Yeah, and even when they make fundamental shifts like Tim Duncan either not being as big a factor or retiring, it's like they've already created a transition. So it's not where they're having to make wild adjustments. Like adjusting to Chris Paul, that's a big adjustment. Mm-hmm. You've added a big alpha personality mm-hmm. and primary ball handler. Adjusting to Kevin Durant. Adjusting to – you know, these teams have major adjustments. For the Spurs, their adjustments seem – seamless,
right?
And they never get bogged down by changes in the hierarchy of who's at the top of their totem pole, because ultimately they're not a team that's driven by player personality like most NBA teams are. They're driven by head coach personality, and
that's a
really
point.
A rarity. I mean, you have it in Alabama with Nick Saban, consistency. Bill Belichick, consistency.
Oh gosh, that is
Greg Popovich, consistency. You look at those personalities who are strong leaders at head coach, Bill Parcells was like that as well. It's not driven by Russell Westbrook or James Harden. You know who the team's driven by, and it's rarely the head coach in basketball.
I do think it's worth a little programming note that when the Rockets play the Spurs tonight here in Houston, Carla Dawson will be here.
Wear
at
black.
The game.
It's the blackout tonight. You're supposed to wear black.
Look at me.
Okay,
I'm
you're ready.
Yeah,
you're ready.
I'm a princess of darkness. I am always in my black.
She's always wearing
silver
and black.
Yeah, I'm ready for the blackout. Yeah. No, I did know that.
Wait, you're a Niner or a Raider fan?
Raider.
Oh,
Raider Grumman. Oaktown
both.
Girl. Yeah. Can't be both.
Yeah.
But I do a show with her each week, and every week there's some things on which you can always count. Carla would show up in silver and black.
Every week?
Yes.
I've been through a lot of years with Oakland, so I am always true to the boys.
Yeah.
When you have to go through all of that we've had to go through with them.
Well, you're about to go through even more stuff with them soon as they move again. But at least
you
don't live there.
No, I don't live there. But I was in L.A. going to USC when they were playing at the Memorial Coliseum, so that was great for me.
Yeah.
I didn't mind that move. But
now maybe you'll move to Las Vegas because that's where you can catch them in a couple years.
Gosh, isn't that amazing?
That's unbelievable.
Don't get me started on that one.
Do you see any more moves of NFL teams coming up?
No, but I'm always leery of Jacksonville because the owner, Shad Khan, has a soccer team over there. They've gone to play in England so many times. A lot of people think that's going to be the natural team that eventually leaves when the NFL wants to head to another country. The question is going to be, does a team eventually go to Mexico City or do they eventually go to London? And I think it would be London, and I think Jacksonville's clearly the favorite to do that, if it ever happens.
Sure. Well, Lance Zierlein, thank you for joining
us
here on the Boss and the Gloss.
I love having you and Lance. This is awesome.
I'm going to tell Rick Tittle that Lance is titillating sports. It is not Rick Tittle. You are titillating.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I'm glad you didn't say I was. That's good.
No, we can't do that anymore. Not in this day and age.
Sensitive times.
All right, Lance Zierlein, thanks for joining us. This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
The Boss and the Gloss continues now on SB Nation Radio with David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, that was great to hear from Lance Zierlein on all things NFL and all things
NFL
draft.
It was a party in Studio 3 over here. I loved it.
Yeah, we had a rare in-studio guest. That was really fun because we're usually on the air in the night hours and nobody wants to come in and visit with us.
They don't want us to be seen. That's the problem.
Yeah, this is amazing. They've let us out in the light of day.
In daylight. Here we are.
But Lance had some great insights on the draft. I'm really struck by what he thinks will happen with the quarterback position. I mean, to think you'll have 4 to 5, maybe even 6 quarterbacks in the first round is a really exceptional year.
And, you know, it's also great, too. We mentioned so many of the good running backs that are coming out. And now with a real deficiency at elite quarterbacks in the NFL, you do need to lean on the running game more. So it's great to see we've got some good ones coming out that you can even catch in the later rounds, like a third round type thing. And that so many of the running backs in the NFL, like the Todd Gurley's of the world, and you've got, you know, Kareem Hunt from Kansas City, are really making a name. It's becoming more of a running back, you know, talked about league, which is exciting. I mean, less pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah. One of the things he said off air that we didn't catch him on air was that he's not sure that Bill O'Brien will return as the coach of the Texans, that the relationship between GM Rick Smith and Bill O'Brien is so toxic now that it could be hard for O'Brien to come back.
And Rick Smith is going nowhere. His relationship with Bob McNair is very tight.
Yeah, so that's something to watch, because O'Brien has seemingly done a good job with Deshaun Watson, and the offense had momentum before Watson got his injury.
But I love what Lance said, too, off air, which was that, you know, Deshaun succeeds with two different coordinators at Clemson, at the high school level, at the college level, at the pro level, that it may not be just Bill O'Brien as the fit like he seems to be. He dedicates his life to this position. He's a workhorse. He's a quick study, that he will be able to do well under whoever he has.
Well, it is interesting, because for so many of these young quarterbacks, the context, the whole team they enter into is a big deal. Who's the coach? What are the surrounding players? I mean, Dak Prescott came into almost the perfect situation mm-hmm. with the Cowboys a year ago with the great offensive line and Elliott at running back. Then you look at other situations. Jared Goff was really struggling under Jeff Fisher. Wow. He was in a tough spot last year and a great spot this year. But it does seem that Deshaun Watson could probably transcend a lot of different situations. And whomever is coaching him next year, Watson will probably be a high performer.
Well, the difference between the Jared Goffs and the Dak Prescotts of the world, college-wise, is that they were good quarterbacks, yes, but not fantastic at the college level. You see what Deshaun Watson did against Alabama in the national championship, two games in a row, NFL-caliber defense. He played on a different level in college than the other two.
Well, Carly, you are playing it on a different level here on the Boston The Gloss. This is SB Nation Radio, hour number one in the books, hour number two in the books. We will be back, and we will address all things college football.